This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're pleased to welcome Pete Prisco, who covers all things NFL for CBS Sports. And every now and then we get a chance to cross paths with him. Pete, there are a lot of different concepts about what football could look like when it returns. What plan, idea, concept makes sense to you as the NFL tries to get back to the point where they can reopen facilities and grind into gear?
Well, I think one of the toughest things to do will be balancing the competitive situation, because when you look at it, in Florida, Tennessee, and Georgia and other states, you could open up, but in places like New York and maybe Michigan and other places, you can't. So I think that's going to be a challenge for the NFL as much as anything, trying to figure out competitive balance with the way teams can come in and work and everything else. But I think, for the most part, I think ready to move forward, ready to go.
It's kind of funny. It seemed very transparent when the governors of New York and California kind of put their hands in the air and said, ooh, 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 we're open and available for sports as well, happening last week.
Yeah, that was interesting, and I think you're seeing more and more pressure because a state like Georgia did open up, and there hasn't been a spike like many predicted, and now there's many more of these governors are looking around saying, hey, maybe it is time to open back up.
The NFL's big on the level playing field concept, Pete, and they go sometimes so overboard about level playing field that it gets a little bit ridiculous. But in this particular case, is there a situation where the NFL might have to accept that not everyone is on the same playing field when it comes to stadiums and fans and even home field advantage?
Well, it just depends on where we get to as we get closer to training camp. I think for the most part, we're going to see stuff shut down, no mini camps and that type of situation, and OTAs until training camp. And I think that's probably the right way to handle it. But guys got to work out, and they have to be able to get together and throw and work on things. So I think individually they'll get together and do it. It might be tougher from a team standpoint to get on the field and, run 11-on-11. So that could be a problem. But I do think competitive balance is important, and they probably do lean strongly to making sure that it stays that way, and this situation should be no different. So I think they're going to monitor the hot spots, monitor New York, monitor Michigan, monitor Pennsylvania, those, California, what's California going to do? And then see what we can do going forward and hope that everybody can get back into their facilities and start practicing.
So, Pete, the question I think is really fascinating is if they end up going through almost the entire offseason until training camp remotely, which side of the ball does it favor? Does it favor offense? Does it favor defense? And I've talked to some defensive guys, and they say absolutely it favors the defense. But yet we've seen that there are quarterbacks out there that are working with some of their receivers and at least, able to throw the football. What do you think about the creativity of some of the ways that these players are navigating the stay-at-home orders?
Well, it's interesting because, guys have to stay in shape, and they're doing all kinds of different things. The Peloton bikes become a big deal. I think now you're seeing guys get out and throw, like you mentioned. You saw Brady throw with his guys, and that's going to be more and more people doing that. Does it favor the offense or the defense? Hey, all those defensive players who say it favors the defense, remember, you don't tackle. And that's one of the flaws of the NFL early in the season, right? The tackling is so bad early in the season when they are in camps and in the off season. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I think the advantage would go to the defense, but those guys don't tackle. And sometimes it's sloppy and it leads to a lot of big plays.
That's true. I forgot we're at the 2020 NFL where tackling is considered old school. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So we recently find out that Joe Flacco has found a new home and he's got a one-year deal with the New York Jets. Still nothing with Cam Newton. Pete, what fit is left for Cam? What else is out there?
Well, I think it's going to be a backup situation, and I think his medicals are holding it up. I think when you look at his medicals, he's one of those guys, you got to bring him in and take a look at him, and right now nobody's doing that. So I think as much as anything, that's hindering his ability to get a job. But the other thing is, too, Cam Newton views himself as a starter. Is he okay? Now, he said that, but is he truly okay being a backup, and where would he be okay being a backup? Pittsburgh? I mean, maybe that would make some sense. In Pittsburgh, if he could back up Ben Roethlisberger, that's a situation that would seem to fit. But again, I think the medical situation is what's holding him back right now.
It was kind of fascinating. I laughed. I can't help it. But the idea of Dak Prescott's camp requesting $45 million, either for year five or for every year of the deal he would get from the Cowboys. I think that's laughable, but maybe I'm just completely out of touch. As we look at the quarterback market, we know that the Chiefs are planning to break the bank on Patrick Mahomes. But what's the latest you've heard about the Dak deal?
Yeah, I don't think that $45 million was accurate. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they're going to go to that. I think the latest is that they're haggling over years. He wants four, they want five, understandably so. If you pay a franchise quarterback, you'd like to keep him locked under your ability to keep him for 5 years. So it makes sense. I think they'll eventually work it out. I don't think they're that far apart. My gut feeling tells me he'll probably end up signing a five-year deal that averages $36, $35 million, $37 million, somewhere in there, and then Patrick Mahomes will break the bank and go, you know, to 42, 43. When he does his. But I think they'll get the deal done. I think they'd like to get the deal done. And if you're Dak Prescott, you'd be foolish to turn down that kind of money.
Well, I was going to ask you then, who's got the leverage? And who's got the advantage if we get down to that July 15th deadline?
Oh, I think the team always has the advantage. I mean, because they can make him play for the tag. He doesn't want to play for the tag. And people say, oh, it's okay. We've seen guys play for the tag and it worked out for him. Sure we have, but ideally, you don't want to do that because if you play for the tag and, God forbid, something major happened to you injury-wise, then you're not going to see the rest of that money. So I think he wants to work it out. I think they want to work it out, which is why in this situation, I think they ultimately will work it out.
Pete, we've seen the NFL come up with this really strange idea for the fourth untimed down, and I don't know, it seems a little gimmicky to me. But what do you think? What do you think about the NFL adding some gimmicks to what we could see on the field?
You mean taking the onside kick out of the game?
Yeah.
I like it. I think the onside kick is terrible right now. The way it used to be, you could get it, but it was dangerous. I once saw a player, and I was on the other side of the stadium back when the Bengals played at Riverfront Stadium, and the Jaguars were playing them late in the game, and Tom Coughlin tried an onside kick. And I was on the opposite side of the stadium, and I heard the crack. Some guy, by I remember his name. His name was Dave Thomas. He was a defensive back. He broke his femur on an onside kick, and it sounded like a baseball bat breaking a piece of wood. And so I think the NFL did the right thing by eliminating those dangerous parts of the play. But then the play became boring. This will become exciting. I think, you know, you get a 4th and 15 with Patrick Mahomes to fire a rifle shot. I like it. I'm okay with that.
Right. And Andy Reid says that with his quarterback, that would be an option. But come on, how many teams out there do you think would actually do it?
I think the majority of them would, to be honest with you. You saw last year, nobody recovered onside kicks. Nobody.
I guess then I'm going to have to get on board with the gimmick. I'm just going to have to join the crowd. Pete Prisco is CBS Sports with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The idea of having football stadiums with no fans is also one that a lot of people are talking about. Have you been in a stadium that's been relatively empty where you could kind of imagine what this would be like?
Yeah, and it'll be weird. I mean, you're going to hear a lot of stuff. And again, though, Amy, it's a TV game. And nobody wants to admit that anymore because of the pomp and circumstance of going to the stadium and tailgating and everything else. But let's be real. It's become a TV game. And so would you rather risk having fans and maybe losing out later in the season or don't have them for a month and play on through TV? I think the majority of people would say, let's play on. They can still play fantasy. Bettors can still bet on the game. And you can still see all the games. So I do think that if that's an option, they'll play on without fans.
What, in your opinion, should be the stop sign, if there is one? If we get to the point where maybe football starts and early on it's no fans, whatever, limited capacity, but should there be a stop sign in there somewhere where if something, some particular thing happens that the NFL has to shut it down? I mean, can you imagine a scenario like that?
Yeah, I mean, if an outbreak happened to the point where people were, young people were starting to die, and I'm not, you know, pointing out that, God, it's tragic no matter who dies, but the majority of people who have died so far are the elderly, and many of them in a nursing home. So,
right.
But if it got to the point where young people were dying and it was impacting things that way, then I think the NFL would have to step back and say, hey, wait a second here. This is not a good situation. We got to be better, and maybe it's not right to be playing.
We've heard from Adam Silver of the NBA and even with Major League Baseball that if there is a positive test, they have to be okay with the idea that they're not going to shut everything down, kind of like the association did when Rudy Gobert got hurt. When you're talking about the NFL, these guys are all, you know, blood, sweat, all over each other. I mean, it's a real legit contact sport, which is different than, say, Major League Baseball. Can you imagine the players being used to that idea, though? I mean, is that something that they would have to adjust to? That, hey, if there's positive tests, we still have to play on.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm going to use the flu as an example. If two players on a team have a flu and they go out and play and tackle somebody else, they're going to give the guy on the opposition probably the flu. And yeah, this is impacted much worse than a lot of flu, some people will say. Some people will argue that it hasn't. Because it's not impacting the children as much as a flu would in terms of death. So I don't think it's going to be as crazy as we're portraying it in some situations. And I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in general.
Right.
You know, there's a fear out there as much as anything. Everybody's fearful. We don't know. Nobody knows. That's the fear. And so I think that's going to impact things moving forward. You know, everybody's saying now, well, tests are going, you know, there's a spike here and a spike there. Well, the more testing you do, the more numbers you're going to get. I mean, we, for the majority of people out there, a lot of us could have been walking around, you know, asymptomatic and be testing positive for it. We don't know. We never knew. So that's where I get caught up in all this stuff. I just want, A, like everybody else, I'd love to see it go away. I'd love to see the economy come back. I'd love to see people working again. And I'd love to see people, you know, not dying because of it. So if we can get to that, that would be the best thing of all.
And I think you make such a valid point, which is a lot of times as humans, at least for me, I can deal so much better with the known, even if it is scary. But if I know what I'm dealing with, I can prepare for it. It's different when we don't have any answers to any of our questions.
Well, not only that, they kept pushing it and pushing it. Okay, it's going to be 2 weeks. And people said, okay, I'll shut down for 2 weeks. Then it got to 4 weeks, and we'll shut down for 4 weeks. And then it kept pushing and pushing, and in some areas of this country, it wasn't even a factor. And they shut down, and people lost their jobs. Look, I understand there were people losing their lives. It is a bad situation, but sometimes you got to counterbalance that with what's going on in terms of people losing their jobs, too. And I think it's a tough balance, and I think for the most part, I'd like to believe we're behind the worst of it, and let's
yes.
move forward.
Pete Prisco with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. How equipped is the NFL to handle a season where there might not be the same revenue?
Oh, I think they can handle it. You know, as long as the TV dollars are coming in, I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, you don't want to have to go give back money when it relates to TV. You want to be able to play. And you'll lose revenue from the tickets. But this is more about, you'll still generate money from a bunch of other revenue streams. You might, you know, you're going to lose the in-house stadium stuff probably if there's no fans. But they'll be okay. You know, look, this league knows how to make money. They've done it for a long time. People criticize them for moving forward with free agency. It was really well done, and it was a breath of fresh air at a time when I think fans needed it. They got criticized for having the draft, and I thought it was one of the best drafts that they've ever had, and it was a good thing for the country. So everybody can rip the NFL all they want, but all they do is keep doing a lot of things the right way. And I think both of those situations taught us that they can move forward in a tough situation and still be able to do it.
All right, Pete, before I let you go, I recently asked my listeners if they're in a situation where they're still kind of staying at home and not a lot of businesses have reopened yet. We all miss something, right? So I miss my favorite Thai food restaurant. What do you miss? What's something that when you have the opportunity, you're making a beeline to go do?
Well, since I live in Broward County, Florida, it's one of two counties in the state that hasn't opened the beaches yet. And I ride my bike by there every day, and it torments me. I can't wait to be able to sit on a beach, read a book, jump in the water, snorkel around, and relax. I can't wait for that. That's what I'm missing the most.
Oh, that sounds blissful. All right, you can follow Pete on Twitter at PriscoCBS, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. You'll always catch him on CBS Sports HQ, and we're always excited when we have a chance to have him on the show. Pete, thanks so much. Really good to talk to you.
All right, Amy, take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.